Hi, everybody, and welcome to the Wayfinders Church podcast. Man, we're so excited that you're here. Wayfinders Church, we want people to find life, and we hope that no matter where you are this week, that you're experiencing God's presence in crazy cool ways. We have a couple cool events coming up, and we'd love to invite you out. First of all, October 1st, it's a Sunday. We're having a grand opening Sunday. It starts at 10. We start a brand new teaching series called Burned, dealing with hypocrisy and hurt. And we're going to be serving everybody a catered barbecue lunch, as well as there'll be all kinds of cool stuff for kids like bounce houses and petting zoo and that kind of stuff. So we'd love to see you there. And then on October 28th, it's a Saturday from 1 to 4 at Center Street Park in downtown Kyle. It's Center Street Trick or Treat, and we are the title sponsor for that. So we're inviting everybody to come out for trick or treating, a pumpkin decorating contest, costume contest, and a haunted house. It's going to be bananas fun. Okay, so we're in a series called Begin at the Beginning. And we were in an episode called Dynamic / Image. Last week we did part A. This week we're doing part B. And man, am I so excited for this. It is, it's going to be great. But before we get into it, the Abraham Joshua Heschel Minute. Dun, dun, dun. Here we go. The quote is this: man's sin is in his failure to live what he is. Being the master of the earth, man forgets that he is the servant of God. Man's sin is in his failure to live what he is. Being the master of earth, man forgets that he is the servant of God. I love this quote for so many reasons. We're probably going to dig into it next week as well, the same quote, because it deals with the power of sin and this idea that it's still happening, that we have a specific role, a personhood, a job, a uniqueness that is bestowed to us as a part of the blessing of our creation. And when we fail to live into that role and we abuse the power that has been given to us, that is when things fall apart. And isn't that true? Many, many people believe that they're living less than what they could or should be living at. And I'm not just talking about like people's stuff. We're talking about the actual way we live. Okay. So there we go. That was the beginning of that quote, and I hope it has you reeling that man's sin is his failure to live what he is. So we're in part B of dynamic image. Last week we dealt with dynamic, that the world is headed somewhere, and we looked at that it's the Shah, it's producing, and if you took out the sin problem, it's in a movement, a trajectory from a garden to a city. And it is in the creation of the world, the mission, the direction that God is dreaming of. So this week, we're looking specifically at image. And the scriptures tell us in Genesis 1:27 there that we are created in God's image. The word image and the imago Dei has so many different things going on with it. People have written entire books and series of books about it. I'm going to try to do a quick overview for us, and then we're going to ask some very challenging questions, and then we are going to let it respond. Okay, so the overview or the arc of scripture itself is that God pulls back parts of himself and begins to create, and he creates mankind in his image. We're select, we're given a role and a job to play in taking the world somewhere, and it's headed towards a place where God and man are in truest community together all the time, where peace abounds, and that is essentially the story of Scripture. The question comes in is, what do we do with the power and authority and role we've been given? And time again, we fail. and that's going to enter into new places. So that is the basic idea of the image of God on us. Will we live into this role? Or what will we do with the power that we've been given? Now, some people, when they hear the image of God, they think, like, did we get God's features? Like, does God look like a human? That's probably not accurate. I don't think that they were trying to be that literal when they're saying the image of God. It could be that it is an honor bestowed to us as a part of our creation and blessing, that we're made to be like God. Or it could be that we have reasoning ability, the ability to discern right from wrong, the ability to decide to have free will. We're not just bound by our chemistry. We can actually even overcome our chemistry. And so that could be part of it. So there's all kinds of things. And then inextricably tied to this idea of image is the idea that God breathed into us. So Genesis 1 and Genesis 2 tell two sides of the creation story. One's kind of an overarching, beautiful narrative. One is a little bit more specific to the human condition. And it says in Genesis 2 that God formed us out of the dirt. That's going to be a later episode when we talk about Adam, Adama, and Ha-Adam, which are Jewish words for man, humanity, and all things like the universe itself. So that's one element that we'll be looking at in a future episode. But it's inextricably linked that the image has to do with this divineness that is placed into us. And then we are blessed and called very good. Now, the word image is the Hebrew word tselem, which is T-S or T-Z, depending on who you're looking at spelling it. T-S-E-L-E-M, tselem. And it could be translated as shadow. It could be translated as image. It could be translated maybe to a lesser degree reflection. And so we are made in this shadow, the reflective shadow of God. And so it's not really saying that God looks like us. It's saying that we are in some way, shape, or form reflecting back the character of who God is, which is unique to all of creation. So here's the real question for us. If the world is headed somewhere, why is our image so important? Well, if you take down the story and you actually begin at the beginning, we talked about original goodness. But now we have to start talking about the sin problem. And we're going to explore the sin problem and the forbidden fruit and the story of sin in next week's episode. But today I want to talk about how sin is tied to our image. So our job, our uniqueness, is the ability to shape the world as God intends. What we do with that power is kind of the baseline story of Scripture. And I'll give you an idea. The text indicates that mankind fails in living into that job, into shaping the world as God intends. And so when we take the fruit, the forbidden fruit, we lose our role and we get pushed out of the garden and we get a curse. So mankind is somehow living less than it's supposed to be living as. The very next idea is if mankind can't pull it together, okay, and this is kind of the end of Genesis 1 through 11, right, then enter Genesis 12. Now all of a sudden, God is selecting a specific person and that specific tribe to bless them so that they can bless the world. In other words, to live into that original role that God has bestowed upon us. And it is now Abraham and his tribe's job to adequately reflect the image of God and shape the ongoing presence of where the world is headed. Time and time again in Israel's history, then the scripture tells us that they failed to do so. They failed to remember who God was. They failed to keep his commands. In other words, they failed their divine role. Okay? You with me? You following? Enter now, end of Old Testament, all hope seems lost. Enter now, Jesus. So the scripture then indicates that God himself comes to restore, press the reset button, so that mankind could regain the image, the full potential that God has bestowed to us. Thus, our original goodness is restored to us in the person of Jesus. If sin, death, the loss of God's image, the loss of being God's image bearer, is taken away, then Jesus fully restores that to humanity. Not just you to your personal sins, but to all things. And so the writers of the New Testament said that God was in the business of restoring and making all things new. In other words, the original goodness, the original intent of where all of the world is headed is now being made right because Jesus has fully restored us to our role. Isn't that exciting? Well, it's exciting for me. I hope it's exciting for you. So what does this mean? Well, it's our job then as Christ followers. And if you're maybe exploring following Christ for the first time, maybe this will make more sense to you. In following Christ, in living the teachings of Jesus, we are exposing, making aware of the image of God implanted on all people. We are learning to live into our role to continue to create the world that God dreams of. So it's our job to let people know where God is at work in their lives. It's our job to expose how God is in someone and for someone and with someone. That becomes our role, to make something beautiful out of this world, out of chaos, out of those things. We create order, we create beauty, we create. And so it's our job to expose and make aware the image of God planted inside of people. That's when we talk about expository preaching, by the way, if someone ever says, well, it's the speaking of the word of God, that's why we go to church. Well, they're talking about a worship experience, first of all, where preaching as an art form is delivered. But the scriptures themselves, and expository speaking about them, is meant to expose ourselves collectively to the story of scripture and what Jesus is doing. And so it's not just that you're reading the scriptures, it's that the scriptures are reading you. And by the way, you can't isolate that out from community. It's meant to be done collectively, collaboratively together, which is why we gather and we tell the story. It is slowly opening us, shaping us, and exposing us. And instead of the scripture becoming a manual or a how-to book, the scripture goes much, much deeper. Have you ever met someone who grabbed a scripture and used one verse as a scripture grenade? Well, that's because they've taken it out of context. So when we look at the word image, we have to look at it in context of this whole big story. And you can't isolate out the individual verse without understanding where it fits in the entirety of the scripture, where it fits in the book where it's being written, because that's a targeted audience, and where it fits within the flow of that. So what happened just before it? What happened just after it? And it's only when we do that that we'll come to realize that the context has a bigger thing going on and that the scripture itself reads us. So all of this is headed somewhere. A restoration, a restoring, a including, an awareness, an exposure, a learning to live into the image, the personhood, the goal, the purpose, the life that we were meant to live from the very beginning. Isn't that cool? That is why the image of God is so important. It's not because some people look like a God or not. It's because bestowed into us, right? Bestowed into our very personhood is that we're made in the likeness, in the image of God. We're made to reflect his glory and his presence. Now, what do we do when we fail? Well, that's the sin problem, isn't it? Man's sin is when he fails to live what he truly is. So one of the things that we need to know is that because of Jesus the Christ, because of that, now we have a full ability to live back into the original goodness, the original very good blessing that God bestowed upon us. But it doesn't mean that we don't fall short of that. It means that we have full access to that. So I'm not saying that everything in life is perfect. I'm saying because of Jesus, we can live into the image that God has for us. So when you fail, get back up. When someone judges you because of your failure, understand that it is a process of learning to live into and up to that moment. And keep exposing yourself to the scripture. Keep allowing it to read you and melt away and allow the Holy Spirit to do what the Holy Spirit does in terms of helping you become. It is when you do that, that you, my friends, will have a true picture of your self-identity. Because most of the time, our image, our body image, our self-image, our self-identity gets wrapped up into what we do or what we look like or all these other things that are not the truest reality. The reason why we begin at the beginning with the idea of God's image being on us is because that represents the truest, the most true reality for us. So may you come to read the Bible with a big picture in mind. May you come to know that God has placed within you a purpose that is dynamic and growing and becoming, and may you come to know that you can have full access to restore the image of God to accurately and adequately reflect the goodness of God in this world. May nothing else come to define you. Much love, my friends.